Today is a day that we've chosen to honor Ginger. The message for this Sunday isn't a message to Ginger. It isn't a message about Ginger. It's a message that's related to the example that Ginger has provided that we're celebrating today. And that's a message about ministry. If you've been around Woodland any length of time, you may know that we have a vision. It's like a trifold vision that's described by three words, and those words are up, in, and out. It's all based on relationship. In fact, it's my belief, and I think that it's backed by Scripture, that all of Christianity, when it's really boiled down, is about relationship. So the way we have tried to express that just in a vision statement here at Woodland is that our purpose is threefold. One, it's to be up in a relationship with God. Not that God is only up, God is everywhere, but that's the way that we can remember that, is that we're to be in relationship with God, and first and foremost, that is what relationship is about. There are a lot of church people that may try to go about doing the right things, maybe even doing the biblical things. But if we don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, all we're doing is playing church. There must be a relationship to God through Jesus Christ. Secondly, we have the word in. In refers, as you may have heard in the Scripture, to our relationship with each other. A relationship is being part of the body of Christ. And that's to say that we aren't by ourselves in our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is the most important relationship we can have, but God doesn't intend that to be the only relationship. In fact, in Scripture it says over and over again that we are a part of the body of Christ, and we need to recognize what that means. And then thirdly, there's the out aspect of relationships. And out refers to our relationship with the world. With a world that's hurting, with a world that's struggling, with a world that is looking for a place to belong. That's where we're probably going to spend most of our time today. But we need to understand that even though today's message will lean heavily towards the out aspect, it can't be what it's supposed to be if we don't also include our up relationship with God and our in relationship with the body of Christ. That being said, I want to reiterate a challenge I gave in my pastor's page a couple of weeks ago. If any of you don't know it, I'm blessed. I love Nelson County, but one of my favorite things about Nelson County is the Piney River Trail. And I discovered that several years ago, and I try to go there fairly often, whether I'm biking or riding or walking or just sitting on a bench. It's a special time, not only for me and friends and people I may meet along the trail, but to me, that's a place that I really find my God time. And so I usually write something each week that of an experience that I've had, of a way I felt God has spoken to me. So this was something that I experienced a couple of weeks ago. If you've spent much time on the Piney River Trail, you've probably seen an old truck sitting over in a field on the left if you're walking into the trail around milepost 1 3/4. The truck has obviously been out of commission for a long time, and my guess is, just looking at it, the truck probably had a rough life. And now it's come to sit with no real purpose other than maybe just to be there and rust. And that may be okay for an old truck. But this should never happen to us. People have shared with me various reasons that they just don't feel that they're able to serve God. Perhaps it's for health reasons. Maybe it's a schedule, a lack of energy, being mistreated by other believers, or maybe you're just plain tired. But no matter your situation, no matter what you've been through, no matter how limited you feel at the moment, you are a living, breathing creation of God. And God has a purpose for you. Quite often, this purpose manifests itself in what we call ministry. ministry is a vehicle by which we serve others in the name of Jesus Christ. But what you should also know is that as you engage in ministry, as you seek to live out the purpose God has for you, it will be one of the ways God will choose to bless you. I want us to consider now the scripture we had for today. You may want to turn in your Bibles again to Romans chapter 12. And we'll begin looking there. And the first thing I want us to consider is what is meant by humble service. Humility, humbleness, is a requirement for Christ-centered ministry. In verse 3, the beginning of the scripture we had there, it says, "For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment." I want you to hear this for a minute. It's true that you might run faster than the person beside of you. Look to your right and left. Can you outrun the person beside of you? You might be able to. You might be the strongest person in your gym class if you're in school. You might be the best cook in your family. You may have over 1,000 friends on Facebook, or may be blessed to have more financial security than anyone else in your neighborhood. You may have read the Bible through more times than anyone else in this church, or you may have been on more mission trips than you can even count. If these things are true, they could be a blessing from God. But do not let Satan use them to cause you to think you're a better person than someone else. As a child of God, we realize that all things we have are a blessing from God. God loves us more than our minds can comprehend. I want you to realize that. God loves you that much, so you should celebrate that. You should know that. That's a big deal. Think about how much God loves you. And that should make a difference in the way we choose to live our lives. But get this, God also loves that family member that you don't see eye to eye with just as much as God loves you. God loves that coworker that you struggle with because at times it may feel like they're trying to step on you so they can get up and get that promotion before you do. God loves them as much as they do you. And you know what? God even loves that driver that cuts you off in traffic during rush hour traffic on the way back from work just as much as God loves you. And when we realize this, when in our humbleness of realizing that we're really not better just because somebody drove a certain way, it doesn't make us better than them. It changes our attitude. It changes the way we live life. It changes the way we respond to God's calling to us. Let me give you an example. Suppose for a moment that it is that traffic thing. And that's an easy one to get upset at somebody about because you don't even get to see the person. You don't know if it's a man or a woman. You don't know how old they are. You don't know what color they are. You can just get ticked off and mad and upset because of the way they were driving. And so what we do is we assume that we're justified in that. And you know what? That's not living according to the scripture we had today, because let me give you an example of what happened. Just maybe that person that cut you off wasn't doing it because they think they own the road. Maybe they weren't doing it because they personally know you and want you to have a horrible day. Maybe they didn't do it for all of those negative reasons. Just maybe this is what happened. Maybe it was at the end of the day, and this person met their boss as they were walking out the door, and their boss said, "I hate to tell you this, but as of the end of this week, you no longer have a job." And so they did cut you off, but it wasn't because they were trying to. It was because they would have a hard time focusing on their driving and making the correct decisions that they usually make. And so when it just so happens that the two of you pull into the same gas station together, and they pull up to one gas pump and you pull up to the other, which attitude are you going to have? See, you're not going to know what's going on in that person's life, and it would be very easy to assume that their whole purpose in life was to cause you to have a bad day, and so you're going to respond accordingly at the pump. Even if you don't say some harsh, mean words, you at least give them a bad look because they deserve it because they don't know how to drive. Or you can allow God's Spirit out of the humbleness of who you are to work and respond in such a way that even without you knowing what's going on, you're able to give them some sense of hope at a time when they need it the most. You understand how having a humble spirit changes the way we live our life? Instead of feeling that we're justified in whatever we want, whenever we want it, however we want it. When we realize the truth, it enables us to engage in ministry. When we realize this truth of humbleness, it enables us to engage in ministry on a different level. Sharing the love of God with whoever, whenever God leads. Kind of connected to this, if you go on to verse 4, it begins to talk about the fact that we're part of something bigger. This scripture here helps us not to get too prideful when we acknowledge the second part, that we cannot be who God wants us to be on our own. We are part of something bigger. We're part of a bigger body. Look at verse 5. This is what I want you to see. Look closely at verse 5. So in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member, what does the rest of that say? Each member does what? Belongs to all the others. Do you get that? We belong to each other. That's what Scripture says. If you've got your Bible, you just read it. We are not simply part of an organization or an assembly line where each has a separate job to do. We're not just connected that way as a part of the body that results in production of a specific product or even a specific ministry. Some people treat ministry like an assembly line sometimes. But as the body of Christ, we're to be connected physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It's a picture of unity. And there is such a valuable asset in the body of Christ when we live in a world that seems to be anything but unified. Such unity does several things. I want you to hear this. It obviously, like we've already talked about, it keeps us humble because we realize that it's not about us, no matter what we do and how great it is that we may feel like is accomplished. We realize we can't do it by ourselves, and not just with God and ourselves. There's other people as a part of the body that enables what happens in the kingdom to happen. So it keeps us humble. Secondly, it celebrates our differences. You know, that's important today. The world separates us according to our God-given differences. Because of the way we think about ourselves, we look at ourselves and somehow or another we feel like we have to take care of ourselves and we get pride in ourselves. And so people that are like us are the ones that we celebrate, and the people that aren't, well, they just aren't. But unity enables us to celebrate those differences. And when we celebrate those differences, it allows us to achieve things together we could not do apart from the body. So things get done that can't get done when you don't have unity. But this is how it all comes together. When we live life with this type of unity, when we're part of the body of Christ and people see us hanging out with and sharing life with people that it just doesn't make sense that we would hang out with, they know something is different, and it begins to draw them not just to us but to Christ as well. And you know what? It welcomes people seeking a place to belong. Do you know anybody today that really feels like they need a place to belong? Because when we live our life in the way the Scripture's talking about today, and we're filled with humbleness, and we recognize it's not all about us, and we become a part of the body of Christ in this way, it draws others. Not to us. They see us, and they see something different, and they want to be a part of it, but they want to belong. And it's not just that they want to be friends with us. They want to belong to something that makes a difference in their life, that enables them to make a difference with their life. That is what unity in the body of Christ can do. Now, I told you, actually, Scripture tells all of us over and over again that we're called to serve or minister in the name of Christ. And it's the real crux of what today's message is. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says this, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." It says, it doesn't just say for the ones who have received a gift. It says each of us has received a gift. And with that gift, we're to do what with it? We're to make more money? We're to become a better person? It doesn't say either one of those. It says that we're to use our gifts to serve one another. Several gifts are listed here in the scripture we have for today. They include prophecy, serving, teaching, giving, encouraging, leading, and showing compassion or mercy. God created you. He created you with a gift, probably several gifts. We've learned today that whatever this gift may be, it's not to be lifted up in such a way as we say we're better than another. It is a gift given by God to be used to serve others. We also learn that we do not do what we're doing in isolation. The plan God has for Crystal to serve may very well interact with His plan for Linda to serve and minister to someone in a way neither one of them anticipate is going to come together. They're doing what God wants them to do. And they can't see the big plan. They don't necessarily know how it's gonna just merge with each other. But then God takes that. And over time, if you pay attention and you look back at your life and you look like at what God's done with your life, you realize it's pretty amazing the things that are accomplished, not because of who we are, but because of who God is and what we allow God to do through us. You know, that's what we're celebrating in Ginger today. And it's not just about Ginger. It was a good time to celebrate that. I believe that to be the people God wants us to be, we're supposed to celebrate each other. We're celebrating this because God used Ginger in a powerful way that's made a difference in this community, and we need to acknowledge that. And when we do that and come there, we thank Ginger for being the person she is, but really it's giving praise and honor and glory not to Ginger, but to God. The same God who wants to do the exact same thing through us if we just let Him. Thank you, Ginger, for being an example of what that looks like and the difference it can make. And that can happen no matter where you are. You don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to be a director of a preschool. You simply be who God calls you to be where you are. You're given a gift from God through the Holy Spirit. Recognize this gift. Claim it. Use it with passion to serve according to God's call, and you will be blessed. Today we came together to celebrate the ministry of Ginger Hill, as we said, and what we're really celebrating, as I've already talked about, is her willingness to use these gifts. She's used them in a profound manner to make a difference in so many families. Her service was not simply a job, it was a ministry. A ministry that did more than provide child care or preparation for kindergarten. Through the ministry of the Well Center, Ginger and many other aides, teachers, volunteers have demonstrated the love of Christ. They've shared wisdom directly from God's Word. They opened the Bible in a classroom. Some of these who don't have parents who choose for whatever reason to be involved in a place where they get this kind of Bible teaching. And they open doors for family to experience hope, peace, joy, and love of Christ, often simply because these people walk through the doors in the basement of this building. I, as a pastor, and we as the Church of Woodland, are thankful to the leadership and example Ginger has provided through the ministry of Woodland Early Life Learning Center. May it be an inspiration not only to continue serving through the Well Center ministry, but in whatever way God may call us to use our gifts. I'm going to ask our musicians to come up. This is a time of invitation, and if you're familiar with invitation, you know that there's usually a particular challenge, and the challenge is pretty obvious today. The challenge is for us to engage in ministry the way God calls us to, but I want to lay that out, what that may look like, so that it may make it a little bit easier for you to grasp what God may be telling you. Now, I don't know what God's telling you today, but God's talking to you. If you're sitting there and you're not hearing anything, I encourage you to tune in. Not to me, but to God, because He's talking to you. This is what ministry is about. There can be such things as formal ministry. Formal ministry is something that could take place in church. We have opportunities here. These musicians that are here, this is a music ministry. They take their gifts and abilities and do their best to help lead us in worshiping the God who's worthy of our worship. We have people that are part of this church that are part of a youth ministry or a children's ministry, and they do what they can to help. Remember that up, in, and out relationship? They try to help children and young people in building their up relationship with God. And it just continues. There's lots of different ways. There's ministries you can serve in. And as a part of the body of Christ, as a part of the church, we seek to do that in a way that we grow in our relationship to God. We help others to do that. And we connect with each other. And then the church seeks to reach out. So that's how ministry is important in that regard. But that's just one. There's another sense of formal ministry. And that's simply participating in recognizing you're a minister wherever you are. I don't care where you work, what your job occupation is. When you go to work, wherever you go to work, you are a minister. Have you thought about that? God seeks to use you in the life of whoever you may come in contact with. Maybe you say, well, I work by myself. That's not an excuse. Somewhere along the lines, it's not simply a day that God gives you to make money to bring home. Your day is about more than that. You're to be a minister every single day, and wherever you spend most of your time is where your greatest ministry is probably going to happen. And then there are other places you minister where you are, not just in your job, in your family. We're called to be ministers in our family, not just to do the family thing, but to recognize what the most important thing is in that family, and that's to live as God asks us to. And then another kind of formal way of ministry, several of you are involved in different civic organizations. Or maybe you're involved in helping to coach a sports athletic team somewhere along the way. You know, what do you think God thinks is more important for you, to teach somebody how to throw a ball or to somehow or another show the hope, love, and joy of Christ? You know, I found out when you do the latter of showing Christ, the first becomes so much more rewarding. It's amazing. That's what ministry is. And then there's the informal ministry. That's the situational ministry. What happens when you can meet somebody at a gas pump, not really knowing what's going on in their lives, but God works through you to make a difference that you can't make by yourself. We are called to minister. How are you ministering in your life today? Are you going to hear God's call to use your gift today, tomorrow, throughout the rest of this week? Because He is asking you to use that. He's asking you to invest your gift in that way that results in a ministry that makes a difference in the kingdom, both for you and those around you. Are you going to respond? We're going to sing a hymn, The Servant Song, page 613. Hear the words of it. Respond as God would lead. I'll be here. I'm happy to pray with anybody that may want to make a commitment. The altar is open. If you don't have a relationship with God, that's where you need to start, because you can't be a part of this belonging ministry thing we've talked about today if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'd love to talk to you about that too. But whatever God is saying to you today, respond. You don't have to respond by coming forward, but if God's asking you to come forward, do it, because it'll make a difference. Let's stand together and sing.
Let me sing all three verses, please.